What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Whether you're hunting the back 40 or chasing game deep in the backcountry, the all-new Razor Guide Pack from Outdoor Edge has it all. Coming in at only 12 ounces and in a premium wax canvas roll pack for compact storage and travel, the Razor Guide Pack is 7 blades in total, including a 5-inch replaceable blade folding knife, a 3-inch replaceable blade caping knife, and the flip and zip saw for wood or bone. For more information, visit OutdoorEdge.com.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast. It is Friday. I know when you're listening to this, it's going to be a Friday. I don't even know the date. Let me check real quick. It's going to be the 24th, Friday, March 24th. Every single person except my wife has had the flu this week, and we've all been barfing and pooping and doing just like rough. It's been rough the past week, and everybody's been sick, and we're coming out of it now. And so that's a good thing, right? And finally, today is actually the 23rd. You're listening to this on the 24th. And so I had a guy bail on me today because I had to bail on him yesterday because I had the flu. And so I reached out to my new buddy, Brian Krebs. Now, Brian is the host of the Western Rookies podcast. He's also the host of the Two Bucks podcast. And I got him on today, and we're going to talk about hunting gear and equipment. It's a BS session. And really what we're talking about is budgeting and spending and buy once, cry once mentality. And once you've made your purchases and have your gear kind of organized and set up for your hunting style, then it becomes very inexpensive to hunt in a given year. And so that's what today's conversation is about. It's a good one. And so I'm going to keep this, my voice is still not right. And so before it burns out, I'm going to go ahead and do the commercials and then just get right into today's episode. I know you guys are going to enjoy it. Let's see here. Where are we at? Okay. If you are looking for a saddle, go check out Tethered. Man, I can't wait to, I'm taking a couple more whitetail trips this year. So it's going to be less spot and stock and more death from above. And so I'm going to be relying on my saddle in order to get me to where I need to go, and in a very low profile type of way. And so if you're looking for a saddle, saddle hunting accessories, if you're looking for climbing sticks or saddles themselves or platforms, then go check out Tethered. Along with that, they have a huge library of content dedicated to making you a better saddle hunter. So go check out Tethered Nation and just read up on everything that they have. It's just a good resource. So next on the list is Hunt Stand. If you are looking to become a better hunter, and what I mean by that is just keeping your head in the game all year round, and if you want to document and journal absolutely everything that you see in the woods or out in the field or on the mountain, you can definitely do that by leaving pins, right? Dropping waypoints or whatever it is that they call those little pins that they drop. You leave those, and then what that does is it tells you a story, and then you reference that story every time you're waiting for the bus to arrive, or you're on the toilet, or you're in the parking lot waiting for your kids to get out of school. Right? You pull up Hunt Stand, you reference that, and the next thing you know, you have this awesome journal, these journal entries that you can reference. So if you're looking for a very high quality hunting app, go check out huntstand.com. And while you're there, read up on the Pro Whitetail platform as well. Tons of new functionality that they've released earlier this year. And if you're a serious whitetail guy, it's a no-brainer. Next on the list, we have Tacticam. And now Tacticam is one of those companies that if you are interested in documenting your hunts, whether you have a YouTube channel or not, or whether you want to share them on social or not, very high quality imagery. The new 6.0 version has an LCD screen. It has a image stabilization. It has the ability to record in 4K, and it can be mounted to your gun or your bow, so you can show your kids or your family members what you saw that night. And it also helps with shot placement, right? You put a shot on a deer, you don't know if it was a great shot or not. You review the footage shows, hey, I need to wait or I can go after this deer. So there's tons of benefits from having a Tacticam on your weapon. And so go check out Tacticam's website. And that's it, man. Those are the three here for the Hunting Gear Podcast. Hopefully you guys enjoy today's episode. It's a really fun BS session with Brian Krebs. Enjoy. All right, on the phone with me today, Mr. Brian Krebs. Brian, man, what's up?
Not much, man. Just looking forward to some warmer weather.
Oh, dude, you and me both. I love how spring in the Midwest is like a tease, right? They're just like, okay, here's a couple of days of 50. The sun's going to feel warm on the back of your neck. And then we're going to follow that up with one whole week of clouds and 30 degree weather with ice and snow.
Yeah, it's wild. I was driving back from the chiropractor this morning, and there's a turkey like full strut out in the middle of a parking lot. And I'm just thinking like, man, it's got to be here. The turkeys are out full strut. Spring has got to be soon.
Right, right. And as you can tell by that cough there, I'm just getting over the flu. So I had to bail on a guy yesterday. He had to bail on me today. And so I texted you and I was like, hey, dude, you got – you available right now? And so last minute, we're making this work. And I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to do this, man.
Hey, it's never a bad day to talk about gear. I mean, yeah, all of us hunters are probably like, we probably talk about it too much, and our wives all are like, can you just like go find someone else to talk about this with?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I feel like, let me ask you this. Do you consider yourself a gear nut?
I don't know if I'm a gear nut in the sense that I need to go try everything on the market. I don't have that bug, but what I do have is the gear that I choose is going to be the best I can find for what I need. And once I find it, I quit trying other things until there's an issue. So I don't know where that lands me in the gear nut category, yeah. But I don't, I do like the buy once, cry once mentality.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what would you give that title, that person? Because I wouldn't consider what you're doing being a gear nut either. I look at a gear nut as someone who buys something different every year, tinkers with it, decides whether or not they like it, but regardless of the outcome, they're still buying new gear every year.
Yeah, I agree. That's what I think of when I say like a true gear nut. Yeah. I keep an eye on the market and what's coming out, but I would maybe call it like I'm very tied to my gear. I'm very connected to my gear, and it means a lot to me, and it means a lot to have good times outdoors, and gear is a big part of that for me. So that's why I, maybe gear dependent.
Yeah. Gear depend. Well, you're also efficient with it. So like, I think that's how I personally make most of my decisions based off of, is it the right thing for me? Can I beat the crap out of it? I mean, and it's all situational. So I have different gear, like when I go out west and I'm spotting stalking mule deer or out in the mountains versus the tree stand. And so I have a different pack for each one of those scenarios because they require me to carry more or less gear depending on what scenario I'm in. And so I don't know, man. I feel like I'm to the point just like you where I think I used to be a tinkerer back in the day, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, but not so much anymore. I feel like I have found the equipment and the gear that not only am I comfortable with, but are perfect for me in the environments that I hunt.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a big thing to me with gear is I don't need to have a lot. I don't need to have new stuff all the time. What I need to have is stuff that I know is going to work, and I'm not going to be out on my 9-day elk hunt wondering, man, should I have switched my pack? This one just doesn't feel right. I'm running into issues. And so that's where I really just want to know what I have is going to help me be successful.
Yeah. Yeah. 1 second. I got to go shut off a space heater.
No worries.
I don't know why. I just decided that. I love when things like that happen. I have this dumbass space heater in my office and it breaks like 2 months ago. And all of a sudden, just right now, it decides to kick back on. It blows my mind.
Perfect timing.
Exactly. So let's talk about budgeting, because I think this is where a lot of people, I don't know, like, I consider myself serious. I don't have any other hobbies, but I still have to buy. I'm lucky I'm in the industry in some way, shape, or form, so I can get discounts. If I know a lot of people, if I really wanted to, I could reach out and get discounts. I could, I strike up some sponsorship deals, which usually results in free product here and there. But there is still a lot of stuff that I have to budget for every year. And so let me ask you this. Just very, very vague, high level question. How do you usually budget for any new, purchases, hunting gear and equipment? And does that also fall into your tags and license budget?
Yeah, it's a great question because it's important, and you'd never want to come to October and you're like, oh shit. Like, I don't have money for kegs. And so I was not great at it for, my early single years out of college. I was making money. I didn't have a girlfriend or a wife. And so I was just like, my finances were like, hey, I got money, I'll spend money. Oh, yeah. Things are tight, I quit. I was just kind of like, go with the flow.
Yeah.
And my fiance at the time, well, now my wife, she did not operate that way. She was very structured, and that gave her like a lot of anxiety.
Yeah.
And so I started getting better. She really helped me get better. And so now I just have a sinking fund. Every paycheck, $185 goes in the hunting fund.
Yeah.
So you do that. That's about $370 a month. You're just shy of about, you're getting about $4,500 a year, right? Into the sinking fund.
Yeah.
And that's intended to cover points, tags, and then gear, right?
Yeah.
And some trips. And so what really throws a wrench in stuff is taxidermy, right? When you happen to shoot a big bull that you want to shoulder mount, now you gotta, that's a, that like that starts like a different process. But that's how I do it. I set aside money. If something big comes up, then we just do like a different type of sinking fund. Like this summer, I want to get a redneck blind or a Banks Outdoors blind for our farm.
Yeah,
we got a new piece. And so that's something where it's like $2,500. Me and my dad are going to split it. But you just got to start putting $100 a month away towards it.
Yeah.
And you got to plan these things out. And you're going to be a lot less stressed. Your partner in life is going to be a lot less stressed when you have a plan like this. So it's gone way better.
Yeah, man, I'm going to be full disclosure, brutally blunt. My wife has a problem with me, and I don't think it's the amount of money that I spend. I think it's the amount of time that I allocate to hunting. And so, and it really does, it doesn't compare to the time that I spend with the family, because obviously I'm with the family all year round. And so I do this, let's just say max 5 weeks out of an entire year I dedicate to hunting, whether that's shed hunting, whether that's turkey hunting, whether that's, a week in South Dakota, a week in Nebraska, a week in Iowa, really, it's probably less than that. But like, when I go and I buy, let's say, like I bought a quiet cat this past year. I think I got it in September is when it finally arrived. And so I did a hunt without it, and then I did a hunt with it, and that cost me $3,000. Okay. And I'll tell you this, that's with a 50% discount, because I knew a guy who worked at Quiet Cat. So I got a huge discount. And so I got a really good bike for half the price. And like she thought it was cool, but I don't think she liked it, because I spent $3,000 on that instead of the family. And so when we go on, let's say we go to the Wisconsin Dells sometimes, or we go on a family trip, that's like one third of that cost. So like the family trips and the vacations and things like that, those really add up fast, as opposed to my one big purchase a year. And if I don't make a purchase, I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm shooting right from the hip here. Like going, when I go to on a trip out west, right, I already have everything I need for the most part. You know, this year was an exception with that quiet cat. But man, I sleep in the back of my truck. I eat food out of a cooler. I really don't eat, I don't go out to eat. Everything I bring is with me. And so it's way cheaper than going on these vacations. Yet I think more of it has to do with time than it does with, you're going on three trips. Well, my three trips equal one of our family trips, or one of, and I said this to her the other day, hey, listen, if you want, you guys are more than welcome to come with me, but you're going to sleep in the back of a truck, or you're going to sleep in a tent. We can go do as many of those trips and vacations as you want, because they're really affordable. Actually, we can do more of them throughout a year because they're affordable. But no one wants to sacrifice a hotel room and a shower and going out to eat and things like that. So that's not necessarily about gear. That's just getting that off my chest right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's when you talk about budget, the time budget is – the money budget might be the talking point, but I feel like a lot of people, the real root of the conflict is the time.
Right.
It's the time away from home. And so you just got to be very open. Me and my wife, we found out that back-to-back Western hunts don't work for us. When I'm gone for 9 days, I'm home for three, and then I'm gone for seven more. Yeah. So I just plan my hunts accordingly now and try to, move things around. So I'm at home long enough to get, re-entried into my house and to our relationship, and I'm home long enough that we can talk and we can relax. It's not like, hey, we got to hit these five things right now because I'm leaving in 2 days.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the toughest thing. I like, I can go out and I get the benefit, and I know a lot of people who are listening to this right now, they don't get the benefit of this. I can say, dude, I'm doing this for my job, right? As opposed to, you know, Joe Blow, who's working the factory job, and he tries to drop $3,000. It doesn't matter how much money he's making. If he decides to drop $3,000 on a quiet cat or a big expenditure like that, he can't use that excuse. And his wife, like, that's a tax write-off for me, which kind of brings me to my next point. I know guys, and I don't know, I'm sure you know guys too, who they start an LLC just to write off their hunting expenses.
Well, I don't have an LLC, but I do have a sole proprietorship.
Yeah, that's what I have too. And you can you can do the same thing.
Yeah, the LLC is just it's a protection vehicle for whatever you're doing. You could still be taxed as a sole proprietor and just have it in an LLC for protection.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very, I mean, I tell people all the time, like, hey, start a t-shirt business in whatever demographic your passion is in.
Yeah.
So if you're a hunter, start a funny t-shirt hunting, like a funny hunting t-shirt business.
Yeah.
And now every time you go out west and you bring your shirts and you bring your camera and you're taking content, you can start to play a lot of different tricks with legal tricks with the tax season. And you get an accountant that knows what he's doing, and he's gonna guide you, and he says, you know, this is pushing it, you know, you can't sell two shirts a year and write off $20,000. But if you really love it, you're probably gonna grow it, it's probably gonna turn into something. But then, like, you know, miles can be written off sometimes. Yep. Hotels can be written off, cameras can be written off. You got to eventually make profit. I mean, that's where you, if you're gonna do that, I really strongly encourage you to get an accountant. And And over at the Two Buck Podcast, I had my accountant on, and he's licensed for the whole country. So if you're looking for someone, you know, but do it smart. But yeah, there's a lot of benefit to being a W-2 employee with a side gig.
Yeah, that's a fact. So kind of coming back to budget here, how do you determine, you know, you've already talked about putting $185 a month into an account. And what does that usually get you a year? I don't have a calculator in front of me.
Oh, so I did $185 a paycheck. So $370 a month, that comes into just under $4,500 a year. It's probably like $4,440.
So $4,500 roughly a year. And does that cover everything? Because I look at something like that, and you're going on an elk hunt, and then another out-of-state hunt as well, right? At least two out-of-state hunts a year?
Typically, I'll do an elk hunt, maybe a four-day deer hunt. I've always done like a five-day fishing trip in Canada, maybe a couple weekend shed hunts. And the gas on a weekend hunt, that's kind of neither here nor there. That's just the monthly budget. I would say it's a strong base.
Yeah.
You don't get yourself into deep trouble when you start with a base like that. Now, some years it's a little light. You know, I drew that North Dakota elk tag. I think we talked about it on previous podcasts, but I was scouting every week. I had a Super Duty. Yeah. I was doing like $600 a month in fuel.
Yeah.
And then I had a 9-day Montana hunt. I was home for 2 days and then I left for another elk hunt. So that, and then I had a taxidermy bill, right?
Right.
So like it, sometimes it's not enough, but it's a good base. I would strongly encourage you to start with what you can, right? If that's $50 a paycheck, if that's skipping beers with your buddies at the bar, invite them over, buy a 24 pack and invite them to the garage. You'll have more fun. It'll be way cheaper. Throw that $50 in. At least you're starting somewhere and you'll start to know if it's got to go up or down.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of how I play it. And what's awesome about this buy once, cry once mentality that you talked about, I've already bought once. And so most of my budget then for the year actually goes into transportation of getting me to and from hunts and the food and the tags. So really, so gas, food, and tags. And so now that I have almost everything that I need, you know, I got this quiet cat, which really opened up things for me this year. My only expenses are going to be food, gas, and tags. And so last year, man, I want to say I went on, And this does include hotels during the rut in Iowa, where I got a hotel during the days that it rained. And so all my Western trips, I did one day of hotels in a 2 week period, like a combined 2 week period. And so I did, I want to say I went on 3 week long trips throughout the entire year this year. And it was under $3,000 for all of that. And so I look at something like that. I go, three trips for under three grand. That's amazing to me, as opposed to having to go, you know, if I had to go buy a full Sitka setup, or if I had to go, what's another, like if I bought a brand new bow or a brand new rifle or something like that on top of that, then it starts to escalate a little bit more. But the best part about this is once you have everything you need, that's when you can start and you've refined your gear. Not only have I buyed once, cried once, but I've also refined that gear to the point where now I have everything I need and my budget is just wide open on tags and travel.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I mean, I bought a rifle 2 years ago, and that was the last significant hunting gear purchase. And up until then, I was borrowing rifles because our family just had enough.
Yeah.
Like I run Kennetrek boots. I haven't bought new boots in 5 years. I haven't had blisters in 5 years. I have a Mystery Ranch pack. I kept my old pack that time just because my wife would need one eventually, but. You know, these are investments in gear. It's lifetime stuff. You know, I'm running Sitka, and I do have to send in a jacket right now because it's 6 years old, and it has one tiny rip this season shed hunting.
Yeah.
And so it's like I'll send that in. It'll get fixed under warranty. But I haven't bought hunting clothes. And so I'm at that same point. I'm in a maintenance phase already with gear. Now, there's big stuff coming, right? We're going to buy a tractor, and eventually we're going to have a four-wheeler. That's completely different. Like, that's a whole different budget.
Yeah.
But I'm at the point now where I basically can round out what I need every year, the ebbs and flows with like birthday and Christmases.
Yeah.
Like my whole family hunts on both sides, right? And so I can put a Sitka hoodie on the list. I could put a trail cam on the list. A lot of the things that really adds up, you start talking about like trail camera hardware, these brackets and mounts, the Hudag grippers, like all this stuff that's like only $30. All of a sudden you got like $300 a year in that stuff. And those are great Christmas gifts because it's $30 a piece.
Right.
Through the years, I've found tips and tricks to really cut down on spending. And I don't know if you want to get into that here or not, but there's some ways where you can really save some significant dollars on hunting gear.
Let's do that. But remind me, because I got something else that the transition into yours is going to be easier than what I want to talk about. So let's talk about it. How do you save money?
So right off the bat, one of the easiest ways to save money is you go on, I've went on Amazon, and you can get an air mattress that's custom fit to your truck bed. So if you got a crew cab, almost everyone's got crew cabs these days.
Yeah.
You can get this air mattress where there's a base section that fills up the footwell area of your back seat, and that comes up, and then it's flat. So it's basically like a twin size bed. It's going to be more comfortable than a cot.
Mm-hmm.
You have heat and air conditioning, depending on what season it is with your pickup. You just auto start it or start it, run it for 15 minutes.
Yep.
And so I do that anytime I'm hunting alone, no matter the weather conditions. I've done it down to 15 below. I've done it up to 85 at night. You just tailor your sleeping bag and your sleep system to the weather. But you can do it 15 below without running the heater if you have a good bag.
Yeah.
Maybe one blanket on top. So you got $70 into that air mattress. There's not a hotel anywhere anymore for $70. And so you're saving, that's like instant return on its money. You save two nights and you've got the whole thing paid for.
Yeah.
And so like you, every time I'm alone, I'm sleeping in my pickup.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a great one. Just to save those hotel bills, cause those significantly add up. And then a little known secret is if you're a firearm safety instructor, you qualify for the IHEA, International Hunter Education Association. And they have a program called Expert Voice where there is a ton of discounts on there. There's all of the GSM brands are a part of it.
Oh, nice.
Not every product, but you're in the industry. You know, GSM has basically the one-stop shop for hunting aside from weapons. GSM's got it all. trail cams, blinds, everything. They're on there. They got some pretty good discounts. I mean, like 30% off Stealth Cam, 40% off Hawk. They have Vortex. Vortex is on the Expert Voice program, 40% off on optics. And so you gotta go through a little bit of work on this one. It's free to become a firearm safety instructor in most states, but you gotta actually go out and help kids and give back to your community. But by doing so, you can get some heck of a good deals on some of this stuff. And then everyone, I think, now actually knows about Camo Fire. But if you give it enough time on the Camo Fire app, it's like a hunting surplus app. Every day there's new deals.
Yeah.
If you give it like 12 months, you can usually find what you're looking for.
Right. Right. Hey, same thing with there's other websites out there. Huntinggeardeals.com. Hunting Gear Deals, I believe it is. Huntinggeardeals.com. And the sole purpose of that website is to go out, scrub the internet, look for discounts on hunting gear and equipment, and and go and find them and bring them to you.
Yeah.
Right. So there's that. And then also, here's one thing that I've found, and this was before really I was this deep into the industry, and I hate saying that. Like, I just hate saying that because it makes me sound like a D-bag. And so, but call the company up, ask them questions about the product, and then ask them over the phone, hey, do you happen to have any discounts available right now? And I'm not going to guarantee this, but I have a feeling that if you said, hey man, I'm looking for, do you have a small discount available? I bet you a lot of companies would go, you know what? I think we do have a discount available for you. And it may be 5%, it may be 10%, but that's still better than, you know, paying full retail price for it. And so, if you look hard enough, you can find discount codes for just about anything on the market or a time of year like Black Friday or pre or post season, they have codes available for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I would just say, make a list, prioritize it, and just check one off at a time. Unless you're in a different class, I would not suggest just going to the store and filling a basket of everything at one time.
Yeah.
Just check it off. I mean, you probably have the bare essentials already if you're at all into the hunting lifestyle. So you got what you could go hunting with. So now if it's like, well, I could use a better pack. Mine doesn't really work to haul meat and I want to go elk hunting. So, okay, that's maybe priority one. Get the pack this year. Next year, maybe get a better pair of boots. The year after that, maybe you get two pairs of pants. Take it slow. You know, it's not worth being in a bad spot for 11 months to have fun 1 month.
Yeah. The only thing that I could really, that could probably throw a wrench into a budget like that would be maybe like a once in a lifetime hunt where all of a sudden your buddy calls you up and goes, hey dude, I got access to a Yukon moose float trip hunt. It's going to be 10 days. Here's what we would need for it. And then it would be like one of those, maybe I put that on a credit card type scenarios because it is such a one-off once in a lifetime hunt. And then you decide to maybe pay that off in the long term. And then, you know, basically make your budget zero after that and only hunt local. So outside of that, I think you're right. I mean, just slowly add up or slowly gather everything you need. Any other tips or tricks that you can think about that would help somebody save money?
I would say the, you know, what's going to save you the most money in the long term is just taking care of the gear you have, right?
Fact.
That's not dropping binos. It's not, I mean, I've dropped a bino off the side of a cliff before and I crawled down to get it and it was fine. And it was a Leupold, so it's covered, but invest in good gear and then take care of it, right? Yeah. Like, make sure you're not having to replace your stuff every 2-3 years, you know. Pants, little different story, like they eventually they just wear out. But like, make sure your glass, for sure, you're not treating it bad, your rifles, you're cleaning them, you're keeping them safe. And that's just going to save you the most money in the long term, is buy once, cry once, and take care of it forever. There's a lot of things that will last forever now. And then just be, I don't know, maybe be centered more on the why are we doing this,
right?
It's to enjoy the outdoors. It's not to have the coolest looking Instagram pictures with all the latest gear,
right?
There's gear that comes out all the time that I'd love to have. I'd love to do tree saddles, but you know, it's like, do I really need a saddle? Where am I going to use it? I hunt my own farm. I have tree stands set everywhere I want.
Right.
I don't need it right now. So I put that off. I would love a Lone Wolf custom gear. Those stands look sweet. Yeah. But do I really need it? No. The Lone Wolf assaults are fine.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yep. And just to piggyback off what you said there, you mentioned warranties. And so I got a one of the partners of the Nine Finger Chronicles is Vortex Optics. And I like having a company, let's say, for example, Vortex Optics or Exodus Trail Cameras. They had a 5-year warranty on some of their trail cameras. And so when I go in to make a purchase, that's another thing I look at, because I can be really, really hard on my optics, and I can go out and I can drag them through the dirt and I can use them really hard. And I know that I have a warranty to lean on if there's any damage done to them, because I can just send my binoculars back in, they fix it for free, and then they send it back. And I wish all my hunting gear had that same type of a warranty on it, because it would make things a lot easier to, you know, oh, yep, hole in the crotch, let's go send it in, you know, hole in the boot, let's go send it in, you know, broken riser because I dropped my bow out of the tree stand, send it in. You know, I wish every company had had that. Unfortunately, they don't. But buying a product with a warranty like that is, I don't know. I almost don't even, I won't buy a product unless it has a certain products, unless it has a warranty like that. I mean, it's almost industry in certain categories. It's almost industry standard right now.
Yeah. And Vortex is the gold standard in customer service and warranty. Their warranty policy is even better than Leopold's, and Leopold's has always been known for theirs.
Yeah.
And I'm down the fence 50-50, half of it's L's, half of it's V's. But I'm moving more and more towards Vortex just because of their customer service, their value. I really do believe for the value, the what you get for what you spend, Vortex is right at the top of the pack.
Right. Absolutely.
And so, yeah, I'd like to actually have those guys on the Western Rookie Podcast to kind of talk through glass for anyone that's looking for some glass of, like, what do I need? What's the difference between this and that? How do I know what I'm looking at? I think it'd be really cool to hear from them on that. But, yeah, like you said, nothing makes me mad more when it comes to gear than spending $100 to try to get away with, I don't really need that. I'll just spend $100 and get this instead.
Yeah.
And then I hunt it, and I'm like, God, I'm just frustrated, right? It just angers me. And then I end up spending the $200 anyway. Now I'm in it for $300 instead of $200. And I had, you know, I got frustrated in the meantime. Maybe it kind of wrecked a hunt or something didn't go the way I wanted it to. And that, you know, so I just quit doing that.
Yeah. Are there any products that you treat as disposable? And what I mean by that is something that gets you through one season and that's all you care that it does.
AA batteries.
Well, fact. Okay. All right. Outside of that.
I got enough AA batteries to put tractor weights on our tractor.
Dude, you want to know what's awesome? And just as much as the 50% discount from, I got from the Quiet Cat deal. So the network, the Sportsman's Empire network partner is Interstate Batteries. Yeah. So every year the guy sends me like 240 or something like that, whatever it comes out to, batteries, lithium AA batteries on the house. I don't have to pay for them. And so he hooks me up with those. And that's huge, because I go through them like that with all the trail cameras that I run throughout the year.
We just started switching everything to solar. We got 8 Tacticams and all of them have solar panels now.
Yeah.
But no, I don't know if I'm really struggling to come up with something. I'm thinking about like consumable products, like 1-pound propane cylinders. We refill those now.
Yeah.
Maybe not our MSR or our jet boil canisters. We don't really refill those. I don't even throw away my game bags. Like you don't know, you can just throw your game bags in the wash on a cycle alone and they come out just as white as they ever were.
Yeah.
So I save all my game bags. All my knives, I don't have any replaceable blade knives anymore. They're all, they like the Gerber EBS system. Like I just sharpen the blades up and put them back on. I don't throw them away. Food plot seed and fertilizer, I guess. I mean, when you really like I don't throw stuff away. I don't get rid of stuff. Everything I got that I've been using for years. So, yeah, that was a challenge. What about you? Do you have anything that you kind of treat as disposable?
Gloves.
Gloves, really? Out of everything? You're not talking like neoprene, like gutting gloves.
No. I'm talking about 1 year. So here's what I've done in the past. I can remember a year where I bought a really good pair of like hunting gloves. Okay. And they ended up with a hole in them, just like every other pair of gloves that I've had before me. And so just throughout 1 year of working in those gloves, and that means hanging tree stands, taking tree stands down, checking trail cameras, you know, going, you know, crossing fences, climbing up shale, you know, whatever, you know, crawling on your hands and knees, things like that. No matter how durable a glove says it is, it does not last an entire season with me. There's always holes in them somewhere. And so at the beginning of every deer season, I go to Lowe's or a hardware store and I buy another pair of mechanics gloves. And that is my hunting glove for the entire year. And I've gone through all the name brand hunt, like you name a brand of outdoor gear, hunting gear specifically, that sells gloves, I've probably had them and I've probably worn them out in a single season.
You see, that's funny because I've worn out one pair of gloves. Sitka used to have this OG shooter glove that was perfect. It was kind of like a tactical glove.
Yeah.
And I used to wear that elk hunting. I only wore them elk hunting because you're always grabbing shit and falling. And,
yep.
And so I wore those out after like 3 or 4 years. But other than that, I mean, I have the lightweight Sitka ones and they last forever. And then usually I'll upgrade to, I wear leather gloves for anything if I'm not hunting. Like, I'll just go get a pair of leather farm gloves. If you want to flip them inside out, they last longer, but they look stupid.
Yeah.
Because the rough out doesn't cut as fast. And then if it gets cold enough, I'll just switch to my choppers. And I think my choppers were my dad's choppers. So they're like 40 years old.
Yeah.
And so I can't remember the last time I've bought gloves. And I've got so many of those thin Sitka ones now because I get them like every Christmas in a stocking or something.
Yeah.
And I've never even worn a pair out, but they work great up until like October. Because if your hands get a little chilly, you put them in your muff or your jacket.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I don't even hunt with gloves, even when it's late season. I just put them in my bibs and keep my hands warm.
Yeah.
So
and so when I'm out west, I wear gloves when I'm walking to and from a spot. Once I get to a spot, I take my gloves off, put them in my pocket if the weather's warm, right? And I'm doing that because I don't want to put my hand in a cactus or on the rocks as I'm pulling myself up a hillside or whatever. But then on top of that, I like you, I very rarely wear gloves in the tree stand. I will say this though. I usually, do you know, have you ever heard of the it's basically a farm brand, Handy Andy's. They're the yellow and red gloves.
Yellow and red.
Yeah, they're,
that doesn't seem to come to mind.
Okay. Anyway, they're like, I wore them when I was baling hay and things like that, you know, back in the day. And so these Handy Andy's, they're soft, but they're durable. And in the, during the hunting seat, like during the, because this is weird, because I don't have a right index finger, I put my release on my bare hand and then I put my release into the index finger on that hand and so into the empty finger pocket. And then I can wear my gloves over top of my release. And then when the moment of truth comes, right, usually my gloves are off anyway and in like a muff at that point.
Yeah.
But when I'm walking to and from the stands or things like that, I'm in a pair of Handy Andy's. And so, I don't even wear it. Like those are more durable than any hunting glove I've ever had to purchase. They last forever, but that's what I'm using. So,
yeah, that's a sweet trick because I bet you don't clang your release on your steps very often when it's tucked in your glove.
Well, usually I don't put my release on until I'm in the tree anyway. And so that's just the secret to keeping my hands warm because I don't like, I do
when
not.
When it sticks out.
Well, no, I don't like having my release over top of a glove.
Oh,
I just,
no.
I can't do it. I can't do it. I like
I just
to have,
punch it up.
Yeah. I just love the having the sensitivity of the finger directly on the trigger. And so usually when a deer does come by that I feel like I want to shoot, I'm not thinking about the cold anyway. right? It would have to be really, really cold for a long period of time with that skin exposed for me to just be like, oh no, I'm cold. It's going to ruin my shot. So, I don't know. That's my glove situation anyway.
Yeah, that's funny. That's the one. Yeah, but like you said, even gloves, I mean, you're talking, what, 50, maybe 100 if you're going top-of-the-line gloves, but the yeah. ones that you're getting at the Fleet Farm are not $100 gloves. And so, really, when it comes to gear, it sounds like you and I are pretty much in the same boat. Like, we're not replacing gear every year.
No. No. Yeah. No, I feel like the only piece of gear I'm going to have to replace this year is going to be, potentially, I've had my Crispies now for going on 5 years. And they still work really great. They're not as waterproof as they were anymore. So I add a new coat of waterproofing to them every single year. And they do okay. I mean, when it's wet and damp out, they get wet. They're not, I mean, the waterproofing isn't on them anymore. But they're very comfortable. They're still, you know, they're still durable, right? I mean, they've lasted. I've kicked the shit out of them. They've lasted long. But the other than that is a release. So I feel like I'm going to have to get a new release this year, and I'll be playing around with different types of releases between now and the hunting season to see what I like.
My day kicks off with a refreshing Celsius energy drink, then straight to the gym. Pre-K pickup, back home to meal prep. Time for my fire station shift. One more Celsius, got to keep the lights on. When the 3-alarm hits, I'm ready. Celsius, live, fit, go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. And then, like, you know, broadheads maybe, you know, yeah. You bang up a broadhead long enough. I shoot fixed blade single bevels now, so I can sharpen them for a long time. But eventually you got to retire them. Arrows. A lot of people may not know this, but your carbon will degrade in your arrow, right?
Right.
You know, everything works fine, but you just lose that stiffness, and that might be why your groups over time are just starting to widen out a little bit.
Yeah.
So eventually you got to replace those things. Having a boot cycle, me and my brother really like buying the next pair of boots about 2/3 of the way through. And now you have a good water pair when you need it. But if it's not raining, don't wear your new pair. You keep that old pair going.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
And you're going to need two pairs of boots anyway when you go out west. Like, if you're going out west without two pairs of boots, you're setting yourself up for one heck of a game of roulette.
Yeah. Yep. I've been there. Actually, not this year or this past year, but the year before, we got caught in a rainstorm and soaked head to toe. We decided to go in and get a hotel room, and my boots did not dry. Even on a boot dryer, they did not dry, and they were not ready for the next hunt. And luckily, I brought an old pair of boots with me. And I don't know, I would have not been able to hunt that whole next day if I did not have those extra boots with me. And so, man, that would have sucked not to be able to hunt.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'll hunt with wet feet, but you're going to pay the price. You're going to get blisters. I mean.
Yeah, it's just uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me ask you this, and this is where I was going to go before we started talking about how to save money. And that is, there's a couple, man, there are some products out there from some companies that are just, and what I mean top end, they're the top end of the top end. All right. And so I actually, you know, I don't want to judge this company yet, but I want them on the podcast to talk about what goes into the cost of this product. But Expedition has come out with a bow that's damn near $2,000 for a compound bow. And wow. So I think it is because of the material they use in their riser. It just costs more, and there's some benefits to it. But what are your thoughts on products like that? Like, I mean, do you ever see yourself buying a $2,000 bow, and what would that bow have to do in order for you to justify spending that?
Ooh, on a bow, I would really have to see the tech, because I think everyone is kind of aware that the technology of compound bows is really at a wall right now. Like, there's not a lot they can do anymore besides fine-tuning it. But, man, I would love to see. For that kind of money, I'm talking, like, I'd wanted to have like 100 feet per second jump in speed without sacrificing like shootability, right? It's like, because you know, if you read the Ed Ashby studies, like there's guys with 50-pound recurves killing water buffalo every shot. Like it's arrow construction. Like, so my bow can kill anything in North America if I put the arrow in the right spot with the right broadhead.
Right.
So do I need that? No. Do I want good quality gear in other aspects? Sure. Right. I mean, yeah, there's different, definitely the quiet cry once, buy once policy applies to gear like that. And then I like being at the top end of gear. I might take a long time to get it right. Like it took me 5 years to fill out my Sitka needs, right? The system.
Yeah.
But you know, now I have that incinerator set for late season hunts, and I haven't been cold since I bought it.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, there's some things that you talk about, like $1,500-$1,600 for a set of clothes, a jacket and bibs. It's kind of on par with a $2,000 bow.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the rest of the bows aren't far behind them anymore either. So
yeah. Yeah.
You know?
I don't know, man. I just, I look at some of this and I go, you'd have to be, and it almost makes me want to do this. And this is, here's a thought that I had this year. And if you're listening to me, I would like the listeners' help on this. Go to the Nine Finger Chronicles Instagram page, send me a DM. I want to find the cheapest compound bow that's currently available that, and there's some stipulations here. It would have to have a 30-inch draw, and it would have to have 70-pound draw weight. Outside of that, I would really love to shoot the cheapest compound bow on the market this year, this upcoming year, maybe. I'd think about it. And just see how, like, what my confidence level is after shooting it a whole bunch of times compared to some of these other flagship bows and these really popular manufacturers of this, and if it is so night and day that in fact I wouldn't feel confident shooting a deer with it. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, I mean, what comes to mind is the Mission craze. Those Mission bows, like entry level, they have like 18 to 30 inch draw adjustability and 15 to 70 pound weight adjustability. My nephews shoot them because my brother bought them when they're growing, and it's like I can buy this one bow, and like people. I had an ex-girlfriend a long time ago was shooting one at 40 pounds at 24-inch draw, and she spot and stocked 154-inch whitetail on our farm to 6 yards. He was wounded and double lunged him, complete pass-through. So it's like what you're saying, like I think what you're getting at is like, is the very entry-level bow good enough to do what I need to do?
Right.
And probably, it probably just isn't the same feel, but like with the Expedition archery bow, $2,000, like that isn't that much different than the Matthews and the Hoyt flagships. They're at $1,800 for their carbon bows.
Yeah. Yeah. Great point. Great point. Yeah. I just can't, I don't know, man. It's for some reason I can't get behind a full carbon bow right now. I had such a bad experience with a carbon bow in the past that I just did not like the way it felt. And it's been a long time, so I'm sure there's been upgrades since then. But I just can't get behind 100% carbon. I just can't for some reason. And maybe I need to go shoot a couple of these new bows to get the real feel.
I've never shot one, but from what I understand, the big seller is weight, right?
Right.
Well, my bow weighs 10, 11 pounds anyway, so
yeah.
I don't care if I save 8 ounces on the bear bow because I have a bar with weight out front and a back bar, and that's what I hunt elk with. Like I carry this 10-pound bow. My elk hunting rifle weighs 13.5 pounds after I put the Vortex Viper 50-power scope on it, or sorry, 50-millimeter scope on it. I'm not cutting ounces. I'm a big dude. Like if I needed to save some weight, I could easily lose 50 pounds.
Same here, dude. I got the tire around the waist. If I wanted to cut weight, and I try to actually, here coming up, I actually do try to lose weight going into September and say, hey, 10 pounds off the knees, man. That's the goal. 10 pounds off the knees.
Yeah. Right. So that would be way better all around to lose that 10 pounds than 10 ounces on a bow and pay another $800 for it.
Right. Well, and another thing is like on some of the places that I hunt, I would rather take 10 pounds off my body and then replace that with 10 pounds of water. You know, so I wouldn't have to go find water, or I wouldn't have to, you know, I don't know, go take care of that whole thing every single day. But other than that, when it comes to, you know, budgeting or ways to save, you know, where else is there anything else that we could talk about?
Well, one thing that I do, and this is going to be personal preference, but I live in a big enough city, so they have BioLife plasma donation. And so right now they're paying $140 a week. It's about an hour a time, you know, two times a week. So you're doing 2 hours a week. It's coming out to just about $70 an hour to go donate plasma. And if you do that for a month, I mean, you're talking 56, you know, $560 a month in extra cash. And so for someone like you, Dan, or somebody else that just, you know, they got the bug, hook, line, and sinker. They want to do as much as possible, get all this different stuff in every year. And they're coming up to that pain point in the relationship of, like, budget, money. We got to save. That's one way where you can get some extra money on the side without very much time. And all of a sudden, you know, 4 months, you could have the Expedition bow or a redneck blind. You do it 1 month, you could have a new pair of boots or a new pack.
Yeah. And you said how much is it? $180 a week?
Right now it's $140 a week. So you're doing
40 times 52. So that comes out to $7,000 a year for 1 hour of your day.
Twice a week.
So it's twice a week. Okay.
Twice a week, 2 hours a week. But still $7,000 a year for 2 hours a week.
Yeah.
And so, that's one really cool way to get some gear, add some trail cameras, and not have to hit your family budget as hard.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer. And you're doing something good for mankind, in a way.
In a way. I think there's a lot of, they say you're saving lives. I think it's a lot of corporate pharmaceutical dollars getting made off. Yeah, so it's not as noble as donating blood, but you're still helping in a way.
Well, one day what's going to happen is you're going to be walking out somewhere and you're going to see an exact replica of yourself. They're using your blood and plasma to clone humans, and then it just turns into a science fiction novel from there.
Hey, I'd love to have a replica of myself. I'd make him work all day and then I'd go have fun.
That would be sweet, wouldn't it? To own a slave of yourself. That's a whole. That's a whole nother topic.
Yeah,
may want to cover that on. How cool would it be to have another version of your? Like, if I had another version of me, that would be like, okay, you sit up on this ridge, you stay with your eyes on this, and then I'm gonna move into position to try to kill this mule deer, and you just kind of tell me which way he's gonna go, or you know, I'll look back up at you with my binos, and you're gonna give me signs and. God, cloning humans. That would be sweet in a kind of way.
Or hey, you're gonna film this, help me pack this out, you know, cook for me. I just got back to camp.
Yeah. Yep, that would be sweet, man. That would be sweet. Well, I'll tell you what, I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to hop on and chat today, man. Thank you very much. And man, hopefully you don't spend too much money this season.
Yeah, no, we won't, because we're going to be buying or building a house later this year. My wife is finishing up her residency, and so she'll be getting a full-time job, and then we got some big things to tackle. So it's going to be an efficient year, I'll say that.
Well, good luck with that, my friend.
Thank you.
All right, take care, man.
Yep.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.